Our gospel reading for today comes from the 20th chapter of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love true crime shows. Like true crime podcasts, true crime documentaries, whatever. I also like to watch crime shows like Law and Order, CSI, all those kinds of things. My husband's really concerned because, well, he thinks I'm planning something. But I really like watching these shows and trying to figure out what happened. I like trying to figure out what the evidence points to and how the crime might possibly be solved. Our human minds are kind of like that, right? They like order. We like evidence or proof of what has happened. We seek to understand the world. Our brains take the data that the world gives us and then they try to organize it and make sense of it. We live in a world that likes explanations. We don't like living in the gray area of life, the unknown. I mean, if I told you a crazy story today that I believed, or maybe something I heard on the news that was just outlandish, or I explained something that you didn't agree with, what might you do? You'd probably pull out your smartphone, or later today, go home and hop on a computer and look for the answers. The evidence, the proof. So today, as I told the kids, we encounter this guy called Doubting Thomas. Well, Thomas, but we call him Doubting Thomas. And many of us are probably familiar with this story. Thomas, the disciple who stubbornly refused to believe until he saw with his own eyes that Christ was risen. Silly Thomas, if he had only listened to the others. But no, he had to see for himself. He had to be sure. He needed the evidence. Not so different from us, huh? Now, I think Thomas has gotten a bad rap for his reaction, for his questioning, for his doubting. Because when we look at the whole story of the resurrection, Thomas wasn't the only one who wasn't sure of what was going on. We know that Mary Magdalene was the first to get to the tomb early on the day of the resurrection. And when she saw the empty tomb, she ran to Peter and John and told them. Did they believe her? Nope. They needed to see for themselves. It wasn't until they go inside the empty tomb and see the cloth and the linens in the tomb lying there empty, the proof, that they believe. But what is it that they believe? That Jesus was risen? Maybe, but probably not, because we're told they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. They returned home, knowing the tomb was empty, and what did they do? They locked themselves in a room because they were afraid. And even Mary Magdalene didn't believe until she had an encounter with the risen Christ. Yes, she was the first to witness the empty tomb, and she went and told the disciples. Yet when she was back at the tomb weeping, she told the angels that someone had taken Jesus' body and they didn't know where to find him. She doesn't fully understand that until Jesus appears to her and she recognizes him. Then we get to today's lesson, and what happens? The disciples, minus Thomas, are locked in a room out of fear, and Jesus stands among them. Do they immediately rejoice? Nope. Jesus speaks into their fears, saying, "Peace be with you." And even then, it isn't until Jesus shows his hands and his side that they rejoice. And when Thomas returns later and hears what happened, he just wants to see the same evidence that the other disciples were able to see. He wants the same assurance of the hands and the side that the others received. So when Jesus returns, Thomas is there, and Thomas gets to see the same thing the disciples saw. And it's in that moment that Thomas proclaims that Jesus is his Lord and God. His questions, his doubts turn to belief in the presence of the risen one. And how does Jesus react to Thomas? Does Jesus chastise him? No, Jesus was not impatient with Thomas. You see, Jesus was and is in the business of meeting people where they are. He meets all the disciples where they are that day. Locked doors, fears, and doubts could not prevent the risen Christ from appearing to the disciples. Jesus appears before the disciples and commissions them that day. He doesn't say they have to be free of doubt and questions to be sent out in his name. He just says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathes the Holy Spirit onto them. Jesus sends them out on a mission, and that mission is made possible only by the Holy Spirit. Not the disciples' strong faith or their faith that is free from doubts and questions. So what about our doubts and questions? What about those times when we are uncertain and we want some kind of proof? I remember a time years ago when I was early on in my ministry as a youth and family minister, very early on. I was meeting with a small group of confirmation students, and we were discussing whatever the lesson was for that evening. One of the students started asking question after question after question, almost trying to challenge me to prove to him what I was teaching, challenging me to provide the evidence that he wanted. And he said, "I'm just not so sure that I believe." So after class was over, I was sure my career was over because someone didn't believe. But I went to my supervising pastor, and I was so upset that this kid did not believe, and I wondered what I was doing wrong. My pastor smiled and said it was a good thing that this young man was questioning, that he was trying to figure out whether he believed or not, trying to figure out if this faith thing fit in his life. To be honest, in that moment, I was a little confused. I thought the idea was for Christians to have strong faith and no doubts. But my pastor at that time went on to explain that as we struggle, as we ask questions and seek answers, our faith grows. He said it was more troubling for him to hear from students who didn't believe and didn't care. Often we worry when doubts creep in or that desire for evidence grows. We think we're doing something wrong. But when we ask the questions, when we look for evidence, when we seek guidance and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, our faith will grow. We might not have the opportunity, like Thomas and the other witnesses of the resurrection, to see Christ's hands and side and exclaim, "My Lord and my God." But we do have the gift of hearing how Jesus is alive and active in the lives of others. And I imagine if we took the time to look back over our own life, you know, hindsight is 50-50, it's 20-20, we could see the fingerprints of the risen Savior all over it. We could clearly see how Jesus has been active in our lives all along. Living a life of faith is not always easy. Trusting is hard. Faith is this mystery of our heart that wants to be solved, that our mind wants to solve, but that's impossible. Because let's admit it, the biggest mystery of our faith is that Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again. That is really hard for human minds to comprehend. So yes, the human mind wants evidence, but the heart wants deeper assurance. And the Holy Spirit brings us to that assurance and sends us out to share that with those who are questioning, those who are searching for assurance in their lives as well. The Spirit opens our hearts and minds to the amazing reality of the resurrection. And we see with open-eyed faith the reassurance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and that ultimate revelation that He is our Lord and our God. Amen.